Gerber.
This President's Day weekend, visit Guitar Center and save up to 30% on guitars, drums, keys, and more. With deals like a Casio CDP-135 digital piano, only $299. Or a KRK Rocket-powered studio monitor, only $99.99. Plus a great selection of the hottest new gear and classic bestsellers. Visit GuitarCenter.com for your coupon, good for 15% off qualifying purchases of $199 or more. This President's Day weekend, get the latest and greatest gear, only at Guitar Center.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score.
Vinny Goodwill joins us.
Which is why I say, Danny, there's no way the Bulls win 8 straight championships or whatever that nonsense
is
that people comes out and says.
That's ridiculous.
That, if Michael Jordan hadn't retired in 1993, they would have won 8 straight. People are out of their minds.
Who was beating them?
Who was... Time beats them. That's a totally different team from 1993 to 1996. That team barely got out of the East in 1993. They barely got out of the East in 1998. And everybody just seems to magically think that Michael Jordan was not human. That was a perfect
Did I miss all these game sevens that Michael Jordan never played in? What are you talking about? Barely gets out.
Yeah, and he won.
Oh, that's what
he won. Yes, he won. But that's why I said barely got out.
Oh.
Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins, middays on The Score.
Vinny Goodwill joins us.
Like, this is super, super fragile. Like, I remember writing about it last year when Derek first came back to the United Center. The day that he received his MVP from Chicago, the Cubs lost 5-1 to the Dodgers, and they were mired in like a 7-8 losing streak. All of a sudden, a few months later, they hire Theo. A year later, Derek goes down, and boom.
Yeah.
Who you thought would have won the title first on that particular day? You'd have thought the Bulls. If you would have said if someone would have said, hey, one of these two teams will win a title, the Cubs or the Bulls, on that day in May of 2011, you would have said, oh, the Bulls, no doubt. Derrick Rose, it's going to happen.
I thought Rose was going to get one.
Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
One of Chicago's most legendary teams partners with 670 The Score. Official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline. Well, right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three, go.
Oh, what a shot.
Zitzer's going to attempt a left side three.
Yes.
The kick out, Portis, three ball for the tie.
Yes.
Bobby Portis has tied the ball game with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, your new radio home for the Bulls.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
And that was very interesting when Mark Helfrich was hired as the offensive coordinator. He's a guy that calls plays. And obviously they've done it in Philadelphia, and that should give you a little bit of hope watching what happened in the Super Bowl, because it means that the Bears have tapped into the right system.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
Do you know the lyrics to Bear Down Chicago Bears?
Of course I do. What? That's disrespect. That's just downright. I might slap your face for even asking something like that.
I don't think you know.
A little bit worse.
Here we go.
Bear down and kick you in your nuts, because you're a fan and you're a big stupid idiot. Bear down. They haven't won anything since I was a child, but I'm big and dumb. And never forget the way they kicked their butts. Packers, Lions, and Vikings, bear down. The bear is not good. Still in Illinois, Chicago.
Bernstein and Goff, afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home? Then you need to call Team Hochberg. If you're divorced and having difficulty securing a mortgage, call Team Hochberg now at 312-751-1333 to secure a mortgage after a divorce. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but we can't help if you don't call 312-751-1333 or visit perldavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, an equal housing lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee 46.
You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
What do you hear? What do you say?
The Bernstein and Golf Show. Boom, boom,
boom, boom. I'll never forget the first Jewish funeral I went to.
There is no heaven. Let's eat.
Right, pretty much. Because I've been used to black funerals where there's like carrying on. There's like an hour and a half worth of hymns.
It was a nice guy. Yeah, we all die. You're going to die too. Everybody's going to die. Let's be nice to each other. And did anybody call for the caterer?
A Jewish ceremony for a person who passed away. They call that a shiva. Here's the 2-0.
Say a Kaddish, you go eat. It's pretty easy.
But I got used to the songs and the crying and someone trying to jump in the casket saying, take me. This guy meant something to someone, right?
You think anyone's going to say that at Dan's funeral?
Oh, no doubt. Kidding me? We're going to let Ronnie Wu be one of the pallbearers.
He's actually going
to. Just to spite him in the afterlife.
And the Ricketts are going to pay for Bernstein's funeral. Like,
how many bullets? Really?
No.
37?
83.
No, dude, he's like Jason Voorhees. He's going to get up and come and check. You. Dude,
momentum!
Trust me, he's going to outlive all of us. Life isn't fair.
You're putting the Yiddish word is the Kanahara.
Yeah. Speaking it to existence? You're good.
Come to that point in the service where the rabbi is supposed to extol the virtues of the deceased. The rabbi says, alas, I did not know this man. I'm new here. You all know him. You say something good about him. Dead silence. Goes on for about a minute, 2 minutes. Finally, a voice from the back. His brother was worse.
It's about to go.
Bernstein and Golf, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated and MLB Network, who is with us now on the Bernstein and Goff Show. He is in Mesa. He is taking in all things Chicago Cubs as the full squads are reporting. Tom, thanks for having a couple minutes to join us today. What is top of mind for you when it comes to the Cubs?
It's a really good team. Not exactly earth-shaking news, but I thought it was a team that needed a starting pitcher, and they got the best one available at Darvish. So that, to me, was a move they had to make, and it turns out I think it was a very good deal the way it was structured. I really like Darvish. I think he's actually a little bit underrated, and I think it'll be just fine in Chicago. And now you're looking at probably – well, it is. It's the deepest rotation the Cubs have been able to put together in this window they've got going here. So that was a difference maker for me. I feel better if I'm a Cubs fan about my chances to win the division again with Darvish than without.
Speaking of rotations, I read your piece, and I thought it was really, really well done on SI.com, the 2018 year after effect and trying to predict which young pitchers are at a heightened risk for injury. And one of the Sox names came up on there, Ronaldo Lopez. And you also, you talked about that jump in the second year for young pitchers and trying to figure out, you know, if it's poor mechanics or fatigue and all those things. What made you write about this? And have you done this before? And have you been right before about who was next to get injured as far as the young pitchers are concerned?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it goes back a long way. I remember when the Oakland A's had, you know, Hudson and Mulder, and they were all coming along at the same time. They were all in their early 20s, and I remember talking to Rick Peterson, the pitching coach at the time, and it was great to have all these young arms, but there's a lot of pressure on making sure these guys keep taking the ball and go out to the mound. It's to me the riddle of the Sphinx still in today's game is, you know, it's a blessing and a curse to have great arms. How do you keep these guys healthy? And as much information as we have, I don't know that anybody's really figured it out. So Rick Peterson was a guy who would count every single throw, including during fielding drills, during spring training, to protect these guys. And he was big on the idea that, hey, listen, if you're going to train to run a marathon, you know, you're not going to go from a 5K to a marathon right away. You have to build up your body, especially when you're younger, to get to that level of exertion. So I think the same applies to pitching. You know, it's not a hard and fast rule, but it's something I think industry-wide teams have adopted that, hey, why pack on a ton of extra innings on a young pitcher before he's ready? Let's gradually, if we can, staircase it. So it's something I've tracked now for almost 20 years.
We also know that teams aren't forcing players to arrive as early as they used to. It used to be sort of this, well, you get here at 7 o'clock, I'm going to get here at 6 o'clock, and I'm going to be the guy that's grinding. And teams are increasingly saying, whoa, no. If you're going to play a lot of your games at night, it's better to get your body used to a circadian rhythm that's going to approximate the actual job that you're going to do. You know, I wonder how the number of Cubs day games, the outsized number of day games, might affect the way they go about it. But why is something that's seemingly that sensible only now creeping into some of the sleep science aspects here?
That's a great point. I think because most every team now has some form of what they call them sleep coaches, but basically they're on top of recovery as a skill that's as important as training. And a big part of that is sleep and rest and the rhythm of your body. For example, I know the Seattle Mariners hired somebody to do this, performance enhancement expert in terms of recovery and sleep. And that's why they scheduled 13 spring training night games to try to get these guys back on a true baseball schedule. I mean, think about it. It does make sense, right? That we have all these day spring training games, guys get at training complexes at the crack of dawn, and then when the season starts, their schedule is totally flipped. It's basically a night-based schedule. So I think it makes sense to me. You know, the old eyewash are showing up super early because, you know, you're quote-unquote outworking other people. That can be counterproductive. And you guys know Joe Madden has always been big on that, whether it's his American Legion Week where you just show up and play. I know he's big about, you know, guys not getting to the park so early as they wind up sitting under, you know, phosphorescent lighting for hours upon hours eating bad food and then go out and play a game. I like to kid with him now. The Cubs facilities are so nice in that home clubhouse. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't mind getting there early. But, yeah, I think it's something, especially I see a lot of teams now moving back the time of their workouts in spring training. I do think it's a good thing.
For the people who didn't get a chance to read your piece, you brought up the Toronto Blue Jays and what they have done for the last 5 or 6 years in drafting pitching and doing it at a crazy rate, but a lot of those pitchers not making it to the big leagues. What do you think can be learned from how the Toronto Blue Jays try to go about their business?
Well, to me, the Blue Jays are a good example, and I've done this myself, too, where when I first started looking at the innings, extra inning guys packed on from year to year, I looked at it in too narrow of a focus, like just looking at guys 25 and younger who added 30 or more innings 1 year to the next. But there's a whole lot more, and I think the Blue Jays are a good example because they were rigid about that, and they did have a lot of guys still break down, and they realized, you know what, it's a much more complex formula. They're big, for instance, on stress innings, that not every pitch should be counted the same. So if you're at a pitching in an inning where you throw 35 pitches and you have to work through bases loaded, you know, nobody out, that's a whole lot different than throwing 30 pitches over two innings. So they were careful about tracking that. I think everybody knows, the doctors will tell you, the two biggest risk factors are fatigue and poor mechanics. So teams are doing whatever they can to try to avoid that fatigue factor. You could say they go to an extreme. Sometimes they're overprotective, but that's one thing that science does point out to, that you fatigue your arm, you're at a greater risk of injury.
How do the Cubs solve the question of who their leadoff man is? Is there any one right answer, or is this yet another year of experimentation?
Yeah, I think it's experimentation. Basically, you know, I think a lot of guys are going to get run through there. Now, if somebody gets hot, seems comfortable there, well, yeah, then you stay. You don't disrupt that. But I don't think there's someone who's naturally built for that position. And you guys know with Joe, he loves to run so many people through the lineup that I think it will be, if not a day-to-day proposition, series by series. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, we just finished talking about recovery from pitchers. It's become a big thing now with position players as well. And I know there's a few extra off days in the major league schedule this year, but more and more teams are giving guys days off proactively, even before really warning signs show up. So that's a big part of it as well. I also think it's a little bit overrated. You know, it's something that we love to talk about. I love it myself, like where guys hit in the order. It doesn't have a huge impact unless you're talking about hitting eighth instead of first, but for the most part, I think a lot of teams now don't have that typical leadoff hitter. First of all, that player is disappearing in today's game, right? That, that contact hitter, the D. Gordon type, gets on base, steals some bags. So you do have to be a little more creative.
What do you make of the rules that were just released describing the limitation on the number of mound visits? Is this just treating symptoms of a larger problem? And if so, will there be any positive effect?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm disappointed. For the owners to talk as tough as they did for a year now about making games move along quicker and seeing a noticeable difference, it's disappointing that this, I know when it was an agreement with the players, it wasn't anything that they implemented, but I don't think it goes nearly as far as it should. Hey, for instance, watching a Major League game in 2018, you are not going to see a major difference than what you saw in 2017 when it comes to pace of the play. The limit on the mound visits sounds like a good idea, but reading the actual details, there's a lot of workarounds in there. You know, if a catcher and a pitcher can't get on the same page with signs, you can, if you're past the limit, you can petition the umpire and say, hey, I need to talk to my pitcher because I don't want to get crossed up on a sign. The umpire is not going to say, no, you can't go out there. He's going to say, go ahead. It's the same with replay challenges. Teams have two, but after the seventh inning or after the sixth inning, you just ask the umpire, hey, can you check? And they, of course they check. So I don't think it nearly moves the game along as much as it has to. I think this is a win for the players, not necessarily a win for the fans. Now, I got to tell you, I'm the kind of person, I really don't watch a game. I'll watch it no matter what.
Right.
But I think if you're talking about this generation of fans now, a younger generation, is used to getting things quickly and has a lot of diversions to take their attention away in between dead time, that's still going to be a problem going forward for baseball.
Tom Verducci from Sports Illustrated and MLB Network joining us here on the Bernstein and Golf Show on 670 The Score. Tom, two big free agent dominoes have dropped with Yu Darvish being signed to the Cubs and Eric Hosmer being a San Diego Padre. How do you feel about this free agency, this hot stove offseason that has turned kind of like a lukewarm stove? Do you think that there's collusion involved? Do you think that baseball is going to go about things differently going forward in terms of fiscal responsibility? What's happening right now?
Well, I think a lot of players and agents were under the impression that it was an older market. They got used to an older market where free agency meant that guys were whining and dining you from the get-go. And baseball has really changed. Free agency is not a cost-effective form of acquiring talent. I think the newer generation of general managers understands that. But I got to tell you, a lot of us were looking at the calendar and complaining about the free agent, the so-called frozen free agent market. But when you look at the deals that eventually were signed, I think they were in line with what we thought they would get. I mean, Eric Hosmer getting 8 years, the Santana contract at Philadelphia, $20 million a year. The Darvish contract was maybe a little bit light, but with incentives, he could certainly get up there in the same neighborhood as what John Lester got. So to me, it wasn't a function of so much the dollars that were out there that, A, it wasn't a great free agent class, and, B, I think teams have realized that going slower in free agency is probably more to their advantage. Now, let's see next year, right, when we get – Manny Machado and Bryce Harper and Charlie Blackmon and Josh Donaldson and maybe Clayton Kershaw. Let's see if we're talking about the same type of market forces in place then. I don't think we will. I think for those kind of great players, you need to step out early and with significant bucks.
Tom, last thing I have for you. I am still amazed at how successful the Cubs were in minimizing the coverage of a complete purge of their coaching staff. Where other teams would make a move for, you're talking hitting coach, pitching coach, bench coach, it's a base coach, new people. They fired a ton of people and hired new people, and everybody bought it. Everybody bought the, well, we didn't know these people were going to be available. They're all at the top of their game. Yet they, up until this happened, there wasn't any inkling that it was going to happen, where the upper management said, oh, Joe gets whatever he wants. And then Joe said, well, we talk about all these things. And either way, something that I think was enormous and significant was largely blithely covered as business as usual, when in fact it's just not.
That's a great point, and I think you're absolutely right. I think there's two things at play here. Number one, look across all sports, especially in football and baseball now, where the coaches seem to be fungible. I mean, there's so many pitching coaches that change jobs. that were let go and then hired by somebody else. It seems the easy fix, if you will, for a lot of these teams, and good teams too, like the Cubs. You don't have to be a bad team now to turn your staff over. It's crazy, the insecurity in those positions. The other thing I think would happen was in Boston, especially when they made the change with the manager and they basically told all their coaches, you can see what's out there because we're not sure if you're going to be here with our new manager. And I think Cubs saw, especially with Brian Butterfield and Chili Davis, those are two of the best coaches in the game. It's almost like when a free agent becomes available, you know, somebody who's that good, recognized that good, generally doesn't become available. And I think this is a case that forced Chicago's hand. Well, maybe it didn't force their hand, but certainly influenced their way of thinking that say, hey, we got a chance to go get Butterfield and Davis. Let's go do it. So I think those things were in play here. I like their staff. I liked their staff last year as well. How can you not with the success that they had? But you're right in terms of the fact that it didn't get a lot of attention for something that really is significant.
Tom, thank you so much for your time. Look forward to talking to you in the future. Enjoy the rest of spring training.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Sports Illustrated's Tom Verducci in Mesa. You also see him on MLB Network. He's brought to you by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor.
Eric Hosmer, 8 for 140. Saw that come across. The San Diego Padres got a young team, but they've been making some additions. You know, they acquired Freddie Galvis. I want to see what happens with Will Myers because now he's bumped back out to the outfield where he won his rookie of the year, but Hunter Renfro's a guy who can hit 20-plus home runs. What are they going to do with him? So these, whenever one of these big names comes off the board and you're like, okay, what happens now to the other people on that team? Yu Darvish, not so much, because it's like, yeah, you just drop him in. But this Eric Hosmer thing, like, do the San Diego Padres think in the next couple of years they're supposed to contend in that division with what San Francisco has done with the old guys and Colorado's adding and looking like a damn good team? Arizona is sneaky good. Not even sneaky good.
No, they're good, good.
Very good. Yeah, so it makes me wonder, like, what do the Padres think is going to happen here? I heard Danny talking about it. He's more familiar with Eric Hosmer in his time in Kansas City, talking about the intangibles, if there's anything that you're paying for here the next couple of years, along with him being a Gold Glove first baseman, is the kind of clubhouse atmosphere that he sets and the things that he won't stand for on a big league team. But, man, that's a lot of cash for a guy who's, you know, when 5 years in is when they can opt out. So that's okay. You know, we feel a little bit better about it, but 8 years, $140 million now. If you're J.D. Martinez or some of these other guys, if Jake Arrieta, what if Jake Arrieta becomes an Oriole again? Like, what if? What,
well, I don't know what pitcher would want that based on their track record with pitchers.
Baltimore says that they're not done adding starting pitching. Who's still out there? Lance Lynn, some of these other guys, right? What if Jake Arrieta ends up in the AL East again with that Baltimore Oriole on his cap?
I don't recognize the ornithologically correct Oriole.
Hmm?
I don't recognize it.
I don't know what that word means. Help me out, please, quickly.
People of my generation understand that what we
ornithologically?
Know... Ornithologically correct. What we know as an Oriole looks a little bit like Daffy Duck or the crow from Indiana Beach. Because the actual Oriole, when they changed it to make it an actual Oriole, like that's not an Oriole. An Oriole has big bug eyes and is like looks like a mascot. That's what I thought. In the wild, you would spot that, and it would have the jersey on. And then they changed it. It's like, this is the actual bird, and we're going to put this on the hat. And that's no fun. So I do not, as an amateur ornithologist, I do not recognize, don't let the record show, I'm planting my flag against the ornithologically correct Oriole. There.
Try to talk some high-stone baseball with this man. And,
nope.
You know, make it feel warmer in the studio. You know, a little summer's coming. You know, let's talk where Jake Arrieta is going to land. This dude's talking about
cartoonist burgers are more fun.
Yeah, I guess. Hey, I'm not going to argue with him. Hey,
if I have my field guide, I have my Audubon field guide, and I am wandering around with my binoculars,
I'm a bird watcher.
I expect to see Baltimore Oriole. That one. The one that Al Bumbry had on his hat. That's the one I want to see sitting in a tree eating a bratwurst. Because that's what a damn Oriole looks like in my book.
We've angered Blackhawks fans.
I was about to say we've angered the ornithologically correct Oriole people.
This from the 630. Jim Cornelison should always sing every anthem.
Nah.
And I replied, he really isn't that good.
He's fine.
This guy replied, whatever D-bag. I said,
because he's that invested right. in the quality of Jim Cornelius' anthems.
Laugh out loud. That's very clever. And he says, about as clever as saying he isn't that good. You deserve a great gazoo saying hello, dum dum.
I like that response, I have to say.
Yeah, so we go back to the Flintstones, the great gazoo. All right, cool. That's what we're on.
That's a great conversation. Now, the texters also got very angry for some reason when I was talking about what Steve Rosenblum wrote this morning for his Rosenblog and what I seconded wholeheartedly. Let's find out the names of the racist four. Who are they?
Is it like the Gen of Six?
It's good for everybody involved.
Call the racist four.
It's good for the Blackhawks. It's good for anybody who deals with any of these people. I want
to
know.
That poor woman who stood up to back up the dude who was on the glass, who had the Under Armour hoodie/training
shirt.
Was
he next to the Jonathan Taves?
Well, he was in front of the Jonathan Taves guy. And the lady who stood up and when Devontae Smith-Pelly started to talk to her significant other, whoever that guy was, her date at the game. She stood up and she starts to laugh at him and point at him with her drink in her hand. I'm like, lady, like, you guys look crazy right now. Like, you're arguing with a guy in the sin bin.
You're yelling at a hockey player.
And we don't know why. If you were watching that game, I wasn't watching that game, but if you were watching that game and you may have seen the camera catch those people, you're like, oh, they're getting into it with a person in the penalty box. And then you're like, oh, that's what they were saying? And by the way, bravo to all our Facebook commenters who are pretty much saying that, like, there's a lot of you put your profile picture on Facebook and you forget that people can see what you look like and check out what you do because you can't wait to tell people what you do. But there are a lot of people on our Facebook page, 670thescore.com, saying things like, oh, I wish someone would chant golf at me. White guys saying that. Well, you don't understand about what inclusion has been and meant to African Americans in this country for generations.
Look, so if you don't pretend. Don't pretend you don't know what that was. Pretend you don't know what that was.
Yeah.
That takes an extra special effort to go out of your way to play dumb. You know what it was. Everybody knows what it was. There's no masking that part of it. When they're chanting basketball at the black guy at a hockey game to mock him, it is because of the color of his skin.
It's not because they knew that he played basketball in high school and said he should go back to it.
Yeah, your efforts to mitigate that or to change that interpretation are exposing you. And that's for everybody on the text line, too. There's a lot of that there, too. I just want to know the names of these people that got kicked out. And I think that anybody should. I think an employer should want to know, am I employing an openly outspoken racist?
This from Chris Elenius on our Facebook page. Basketball is a racist slur. You people are whacked if you think that. I just watched 42 a few nights ago. Oh, well, since you did that. Jackie Robinson endured racist slurs and death threats, and I smell lawsuits in favor of those who were kicked out over BS. Jerks they may be, but to claim basketball is a racist remark, I can't wait to hear that defended in court. FTR, basketball players get paid more, don't they? Shaking my head at the stupidity found in society today. The fact that you bring up Jackie Robinson went through what he went through so that Devontae Smith-Pelly would not have to go through that. Like, the fact that you bring that up is amazing to me.
I also love what Tim Baffo wrote. If you follow him on Twitter, he writes some terrific stuff at 670thescore.com, and he posted something today about the irony of the word basketball being used as a pejorative. And we understand that it was, and that's the clear context, was making fun of Devontae Smith-Pelly for being black. Yet, which sport has been setting the tone for outspoken, progressive, and engaged citizenry? It's been basketball. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, hockey's been trying. Hockey's been really good. A lot of the stuff that's been done with the You Can Play team, a lot of the stuff that's been done with Pride parades.
Instead of celebrating Black History Month, they celebrate Hockey is for Everyone Month. So they've tried to make their steps and take their steps into showing that it is an inclusive sport. But there's no defending this. Like, who are you? Unless you just want to have that kind of conversation and that argument, How can you really, seriously, how can you sit down, and I know you probably work with black people, I'm sure you've had conversations with them, how can you sit down and say, yeah, this is fine, this is okay? I don't get it. I don't understand, and maybe I'm not surprised, and I don't understand if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'd like to know their names. I'd like to know who those four people are. We'll find out if anybody made that could be your kid's teacher. That could be somebody else in your walk of life. It could be your employee. And as an employer, you'd want to know, just like the identified Charlottesville marchers, there were some employers who said, you know what? I'm not comfortable having you work for me. I don't want you representing my company. I don't want you representing my organization. I don't want you a part of our team. And I feel strongly that somebody who would feel so empowered and so protected, the fact is they are being protected. That's the lesson that right. Somebody in that situation
it's bigger than four people at a black
Hawk. Somebody in that situation is being allowed to get away with that. And if the consequences is you don't get to come to any more Blackhawks games, or you don't get to sit in your rinkside seats, that's the consequence. That kind of behavior deserves actual consequence.
This from Daniel James on our Facebook page. Racists everywhere seem to feel very entitled to their ignorant hate at this time due to the behavior of and the current stain on our society. This is just another hiccup on our journey to equality. While we are in the midst of this hiccup, it is very, very important to document who these ignorant people are. They will still be ignorant long after the stain has been removed. So, I mean, in the long run, this is one of those things where, unfortunately, like I said, I was not surprised. Not that I had a bad go of it last week when I went to...
No, you're talking about how much Ducks. Fun you had, how great everybody was.
I had a ball. Chased the lady down, you know, got her breast milk back that she dropped near the brewery. It was cool. You know, we sat in the club level and we talked to people around us. You know, my guy Norm made a little friend where I believe it was that kid's first game, and it was my guy Norm's first game. So they were enjoying it all. You know, we made jokes with people. We had a good time. We laughed. We smiled. We got a couple of beers. Duncan Keith scored a goal. I was sitting next to a guy who had a Duncan Keith jersey on who didn't know that Duncan Keith hadn't scored a goal. So it was a decent time. And then you get this, you know, and what you hate, and this is what happens, though. If we're going to make fun of Boston for everything that has happened in that city, not just, you know, the last couple of years, but hell, going back to, you know, the Mo Vaughn stuff and the Bill Russell stuff. I mean, there's a long storied history of improper race relations in the city of Boston. Yeah, well, when it comes back, because I had a lot of Boston people today hit me up like, yo, what's up with you? What's up with Chicago? What's up with Chi-Town? I'm like, hey, man. This is not only in the Northeast. This is not only in the Midwest. It's not only in the South or in the West. This is all over this country. And unfortunately, we are in a time where people feel not just emboldened, but empowered by the normal discourse that is, say whatever you think, even if it is harmful or ignorant or bigoted. You know, the true definition of racism is thinking that one class or race of people is superior to another. Now, the bigoted remarks that are coming out aren't all racist. That's the other thing, too. We got to get our definitions down. People are, you know, talking about... Anyway, by the way, if you read race bait or race card, know that you're probably talking to someone who is a bigot or a burgeoning racist. Those are the people who just want to make sure that things stay the same and the conversations get stopped there by saying, oh, race card or race baiting. But the conversation will continue because we should make steps. The same way we've made steps. Like, I'm sitting there watching Bill Russell last night on the sideline. And the things that were said about Bill Russell at the time that he played, how surly he was, how angry he was. Bill Russell played in Boston in the 60s. Bill Russell wasn't allowed to sleep in the same hotels as the teams that he was coaching. Bill Russell was, I believe, a five-time NBA MVP, won 11 championships in 13 years, and he still had trouble getting a lot of love in the city that he played in. So when he gets older and times get a little bit better, we find that Bill Russell was one of the more gregarious guys that the NBA had ever seen, and had one of the best laughs
still
the
does.
NBA has seen. Yeah, had one of the best laughs that anybody in the NBA had ever heard, I should say. So the fact that those guys brought up things that were uncomfortable and talked about things that were uncomfortable and made sure that people continue those conversations, I think it is a responsibility for people that have a microphone like I do, or that athletes like LeBron James continue those conversations.
Yeah, they understand it.
So that our kids and the next generation will have it a little bit better. We have it a little bit better because of those people. And you can't just take the baton and drop it. You got to keep it pushing. And if it's better for our kids, it would definitely be better for, you know, little white boys and girls as well, because cultures will merge.
Yeah, better is better.
Yeah, there'll be an understanding.
Better is better.
Injustice, was it injustice anywhere? Is it injustice to injustice everywhere? And this other thing too, Martin Luther King, like we talk a lot, we always like to frame his quotes and comments, you know, to our liking, but he had some very conservative thoughts in that, hey, silence at some point is deemed betrayal. And if you're sitting around and you're allowing, and this is for the my black friends and family as well, if you're allowing for the discomfort of a different race and you're not saying anything because you don't want to make any waves, then you are complicit. You are complicit. That we need to get past all that. So for the four people chanting basketball at Devontae Smith Pelly and everyone sitting around and him having to be escorted out because Devontae was like, yo, this is ridiculous. You are complicit by nature. And that, you know, that's when that stops, I think that's when we move forward.
And if I'm Jonathan Toews, I want a name and I want to tell that person, get my jersey off your back. Get my name off your back.
Scoreboard update.
And we jump into the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio. I'm Mike Esposito. This season, the Chicago Wolves have set franchise records for home winning streaks in most consecutive games with points earned. Don't miss out on this special season at Allstate Arena. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Cubs had their first full squad workout today. Anthony Rizzo, back from Florida, said he didn't hesitate to go after the mass shooting in Parkland.
To be across the country and not be there, and then to find out, you know, some very close people have lost loved ones. To be there to help them, support them, was very important to me.
Cubs open their spring schedule Friday against the Brewers. The Sox do the same Friday against the Dodgers. Pace of play rules today. MLB announced there will not be a pitch clock for this season. Mound visits, however, will be limited to 6 per 9 innings. Also on the baseball beat, Bryce Harper said don't talk to him about free agency this year. He only wants to talk about this season with the Nationals. Hockey, the Hawks host the Kings tonight, looking for their second win in a row. They snapped their 8-game skid on Saturday. The Hawks also traded defenseman Michael Kempney to Washington in exchange for a conditional 2018 draft pick. Basketball, the Bulls off till Thursday night. They'll host the Sixers, a game you can catch right here on The Score. 25 games left for the Bulls in the regular season, only 11 against teams 500 or above. At the Olympics, Mikaela Shiffrin has withdrawn from the women's downhill. AP top 25 in college basketball. Virginia remains number one. Michigan State, Villanova, Xavier, and Duke round out your top five. Loyola Chicago receiving votes now. They got 2 votes last week. Good for them. Cold and flu. Fever is flu's trademark. The Exergen Temporal Scanner is the number one thermometer. Pediatricians recommend protect your family with technology backed by over 70 clinical studies. Exergen.com. Scoreboard update brought to you by Ryan Kelly. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com. I'm Mike Esposito. You're listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station and the new radio home of the Chicago Bulls. Next Bulls game on The Score Thursday night. Bulls and Sixers on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Packy Web 4. The whole time.
I gave college basketball some time this weekend. Got a chance to take in some things. I saw one of the best dunks in recent memory that I've seen on a college basketball court by Alabama forward Dante Hall. It's rare that I am jumping out of my seat when something unexpected comes from a guy grabbing a ball behind his head, below the rim, and with a bad hand, apparently, too, smashing that thing down. And then Kentucky started to look like it's better than it was.
You know, they lost 4 in a row. You could have that team.
They looked a lot better near the end. And there's so much individual talent out there. You just saw a lot of my turn possessions. But, man, I will tell you this.
that Northwestern half.
I started recording that game when I pressed my C button and I saw it was 30-10 Northwestern. I'm like, oh.
Wasn't it like 43?
Look at these boys out here playing ball. And then, what, they go on a 24-2 run or something like that? Northwestern just can't wait to open up a fresh can of ass wax.
Wow. For themselves. They bring out the tin. They unscrew the top.
A new one every time.
Oh, brand fresh out of the box, right?
It's not like fish grease or lard that you keep in the
can. Please, Michigan State, wax our collective ass for us. Oh, well, we're paying for the ass wax. We're handing it and we're getting this special chamois for you to use. You can use a silk ass waxing rag. Good God,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Chris Collins has to have some speaks with his team. Or the AD has to have some speaks with Chris
Somebody
Collins.
Somebody needs to talk about what's going on in the basketball program.
You're about to open a new building.
Yeah.
And you thought that this thing was going to be trending a different direction. You thought, yeah, full page ads are coming in the Sun-Times and the Trib. Yeah, we're recruiting differently because we've stacked a couple of good tournament years back to back. Ever since those awful possessions against Vanderbilt at the end of that game in the tournament, this Northwestern thing has been tough to stomach. Tough to stomach.
Yeah, they don't give you a reason to buy in.
No.
Just when you think, all right, well, that's how it's supposed to look. It's a little late.
They were getting national love, too. There's no more. It was no more of that, oh, the world's against us. No one believes in us. We're just a bunch of scrappy, guys that go to a good school playing a little ball. Clark Kellogg said they were going to the Final Four.
Well, that's one of the dumb sports thoughts of the year.
That was bad.
That's sort of like, Skip Bayless was calling out LeBron James for not having the guts to ever be in a dunk contest. I'm not kidding.
You know,
I'm not making that up.
At some point, just propose. You love him. He's put a lot of money in your pocket. Like, you love him. Just say, "Will you marry me?" When he says no, you keep it moving because there's a weird vibe with him.
Not kidding.
He's scared because he won't jump in the dunk contest. What is he scared of?
I don't know.
Like losing or. Like us thinking he's less of a basketball player?
Doesn't have the guts.
What guts does it take?
I don't know.
Jeremy Evans won a few years back. Where is Jeremy Evans these days?
Harold Miner. Baby Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would say Isaiah Ryder, but he'd find me and put his hands on me.
Careful.
And I don't want. There's like five guys in the NBA who I will never talk about in a disparaging way.
Don't you think JR's mellowed out over the years, baby?
I'm sure if you put Isaiah Ryder into Google within the last 6 months, something's probably gone down.
Yeah.
Isaiah Ryder, Tony Allen, Ivan Johnson. Who else? Who else do I put on that list?
Zach Randolph.
I will never say. Zach is actually. You know, Zach is still
Tyler Hansborough.
Get it, cut it out. Javaris Crittenden. You know,
right.
He's about that life for real. Like, there's certain guys, I don't care what ball you bounced or what short shorts you wore. You're
Jamal Tinsley?
Nah, he shot up in a strip club, right? Nah. No, I think he was going away from the strip club. Even worse. Like they were down the street while driving. They were no longer in the strip club parking lot.
So it doesn't count.
Yeah. Steven Jackson. Although he's mellowed too. Still don't want that.
My list expands to anybody from a war-torn country. I'm good on that too.
Ooh, yeah. True that. Who was the guy the other day?
Like Luol?
Not just him. Who's the guy the other day?
I go to Zaza. Zaza Pachulia.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, South Sudan's no joke.
Some guy got swung on the other day. And like, who's the member of the Orlando Magic that got into a fight? Aaron Aflalo. Tried to fight some dude.
Yes.
With like a bunch of consonants in his name, and he was not running from it at all. Like, he was ready to take whatever he had for him. And I was like, yeah, that's one of those dudes who, you know, he's had family members go at tanks with a slingshot before.
Nemanja Bjelica.
Oh yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I'm doing that phonetically.
Yeah, Bjelica. Yeah.
Bjelica.
Yeah.
Nemanja.
Yeah. He was like, all right, if this is what you want to do, you can catch these foreign hands as well. And member of foreign hands. Nah, I don't, you know, Charles Oakley, yeah, I guess. But Charles Oakley got drug out of MSG. That kind of took some some shine off the general's, you know, stars there.
Well, there were always issues with him and, like, Tyrone Hill. There was some gambling debts.
There's some ugly issues, right? With Tyrone, yeah, Hill.
Well,
Anthony Mason is dead,
that.
So he'd be very easy to take these days. I mentioned Ivan John. Ron Artest is on there as well. Ron Artest just crazy strong.
And crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, right, the crazy strength where you're like, oh, this guy, he's not going to know when the fight's over.
like something on PCP, right? When you put like 6 bullets in him and they're still coming at you.
Or you
beat him. He knew not to mess with Ben Wallace, though.
You know what, though? I know in that instance when the Malice of the Palace went down, yeah, it seemed like that, right? But if those two were to square up, I'm taking Ron. Tony, I have seen and heard things about Ron Artest that no human, no sane individual would say, yeah, I'm going to pull it with Ron. Like, Ron has done things in locker rooms before that have made teams not want to play basketball anymore because they were scared of him.
With the naked push-ups?
Well, that and some other things as well. Like, Ron is... I love Ron.
I like the leaving the Berto Center and ripping his portrait off the wall.
Yeah, hey, I'm not here anymore. Right. You won't need this.
Give me this.
Yeah.
And he literally yanked it off the wall in the front hallway.
Jerry Stackhouse is a great name. Jerry Stackhouse is known for practice hands. Like, you know, never in a game, really. That's why no one tested him in a game.
It's Jerry Stackhouse's brother, half-brother Tony Dawson, that had the great line.
What's that?
We're going to run laps.
Oh.
Coach, it's going to rain in this before I'm running.
It's probably.
Well, Tony's not running.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you probably
That's
say.
Pretty much
Thank
what
you.
It was.
Thank you so yeah. much.
The guy that had 46-12 last night isn't running.
This from the 773. Yeah. Aflalo is from Compton. I understand that. I understand. I'm not saying he was a softie, but Bielica at the time was not running. And, you know, like, everybody woofs until somebody's like, oh, yeah, I actually been waiting for this. I want you to keep whooping because I haven't had one of these in a while and I'm due. And you're like, oh, all right.
You know, like when a dude in a bar bumps up on you a little bit too hard and you actually turn around and look at him, he's like, oh, no, man, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, like,
I'll just wait for my drink.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Exactly.
Tyler Hansborough, Ron Artest.
Ooh. Like, Tyler's got that.
That's crazy strong, too.
Yeah, that's...
And crazy.
No, that's happened. That's happened.
That's a true detective kind of vibe that Tyler's got going on there. I don't...
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
Yeah.
That whole family, the whole homeschooling, the claustrophobia.
Now the homeschool people are going to come out for you.
Well, these two...
They're going to leave recess right now.
Hey, Charlie, come back in the house. Bernsie's talking about us again.
Do the homeschool weirdos get this day off?
Ooh. I wonder if homeschool, like,
it's okay.
If you as a parent is like, you know what, I need days off.
Because it's President's Day, we don't have to tell you how Jesus made the dinosaurs. Jesus.
Okay. Thank you, mommy.
It's as if you're like.
And they'll go back in your box where we put it.
Well, take it easy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Hansbrough's had like that.
It's as if, though, that you like. You're like, you look at your watch and you go, oh, yeah, I haven't sparred with these people for a couple of months.
They're easy. It's fine. You're still like, I homeschool my kids and they ain't weird.
Oh, God, don't do this. Because now they're
going to. And I know Jesus only made pterodactyls. He make all the dinosaurs.
They're going to come out with their school shooting
Hank
examples.
Williams made the rest of them.
They're going to come out with, you know, being in school with thugs and criminals.
That's okay.
You know,
they're busy.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're probably busy today doing other things.
No.
There's Kevin says, what about Chris Childs?
Well, this is the thing. Chris Childs had alcoholic hands.
Now, he went and sang it here.
Right? Like, he battled with alcoholism. So it's different.
It changes your hands?
But this is the thing.
The style of the drunken punch?
We all know a drunkard that likes to fight that can't fight. That's different than a guy that you...
Right.
Like, some drunkards, you're like, oh, yeah, I can't wait till Marcus gets 5 into him and tries to pop off because he's wobbly and he's not going to have any stamina. I'm going to put him in a sleeper hole like I always do and get back to the party. That's different than fearing a person. And we all go back to Chris Childs giving Kobe the two-piece. And like, that's his claim to fame. And I hope Chris is doing well. But he even talked about, like, he battled with alcoholism throughout his time in the NBA. That's different. Right. I don't think guys were scared of Chris Childs. I think it was just Chris Childs was already always ready to pull it. We all got that guy.
No, historically, I mean, like, look, Michael Graham would have to be on that list.
Yeah, your guy from Georgetown, right?
Yeah, another Georgetown kid named Perry McDonald, who was just known as somebody you didn't mess with.
James Johnson. This is a good one from the 212.
Yeah, he's
James Johnson,
Karate Man.
Kill you, right. Quarter blood technique. Yep. Karate Man bleed on the inside. James Johnson was trained in the martial arts at a young age, and actually his father and I believe his brother were as well. So coming up in that household,
father a law enforcement officer of some kind?
I believe
who was
so.
Also he taught
something,
combat
something, yeah. And they would fight as kids, and like, you know, they would get it on. Like, I've seen him on Highly Questionable with Bomani and Dan Le Batard, and he talked about like the epic battles, and it's known around the NBA. Like, you run up on him, better bring a lunch, because he's going to hit you four times before you know you're in a fight.
Back in the ABA, that was Warren Jabali. If you look up the history, look up the history of Warren Jabali.
That was back when fighting was okay, too.
And John Brisker. There's a guy named John Brisker who had the reputation of somebody you didn't even pretend to want.
Look sideways at?
Right.
You never pulled it.
Because
you always wanted to be on his side.
And then years later, I crossed paths Bill with Lambert, his, I believe his nephew out of Stetson, a guy named Mark Brisker. And I saw the name and I went up to him, Mark, you related to John Brisker? Yeah. I said, because that's it's my uncle. I said, is it really true about those ABA stories? He's like, yep. He said, pretty much everyone that I heard, and there was, for everyone you heard, there's another one.
Yeah?
Yeah. At the game, before the game.
Whenever you wanted.
After the game, at practice, there's
anything you wanted.
There's something,
with the hands.
Something coming your way. Yeah. If he woke up and didn't get enough sleep, if he got enough sleep.
Sounds like he had issues.
Yeah.
Sounds like it wasn't just he was good with his hands.
No.
Sounds like
I don't know how good he was. I just know he was ready. He was always, anytime you wanted.
Stayed ready. You ain't got to get ready if you stay ready. Yeah,
that's right. Stay ready, all-star.
Yeah, stay ready, all-star. That's shoot, what we're saying.
Shoot when you're hot. Shoot to get hot.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. This is from the 773. Artest drank Henny in the Bulls locker room. Yeah, that was that story that he came up with, that he drank Hennessy beforehand. But Ron wasn't like that because he was drunk. I think Ron was self-medicating. I think Ron had way bigger issues, you know, from his upbringing in Queensbridge and all the other things. Look up the Urlacher Bass Rutten incident. Isn't Bass Rutten like one of the
isn't that a villain from Die Hard?
No,
that's Hans Gruber.
Isn't it like wasn't he like a wrestler or a bodybuilder, like world renowned wrestler?
Bass Rutten, a Dutch former mixed martial artist, kickboxer, professional wrestler, and current actor.
He's in that movie, that MMA movie where Kevin James is a teacher and he needs to learn to become an MMA fighter, win 50 grand, and save the school.
Is it Brawl Cop 3?
No, it's that's close, though.
I'm sorry. I'll see myself out.
Take
for
it
that
to the
one.
Mat or something.
Take
I don't know.
Take it to the mat.
I'm probably super wrong about that.
Go to the mattresses. Hey,
every 10 years this happens. Robert Parrish. I heard stories about Robert. Kendrick Perkins is a lot of names. Everybody's just. Pretty much what's happening right now at 670-11 is people are texting black guys that didn't smile during their NBA career and seeing if we agree with them. That's all that's happening right now on the text line. Like, the brothers that didn't smile are getting all the big ups right now. I heard stories about Kendrick Perkins and what he wouldn't allow to happen to his mother and sister in his life as a kid, where if people came into their house, whether it be boyfriends or anybody, Kendrick Perkins was putting hands on people at an early age.
All right, now this, I just looked up John Brisker on Wikipedia, and there is stuff I did not know, okay? A 6'5 forward guard for the Toledo Rockets at the University of Toledo, that he was a Pittsburgh Piper, a Pittsburgh Condor, and a Seattle Supersonic, averaged 20.7 points per game.
Oh, he's a player.
26.1 per game in the ABA.
He's a player then. Okay? I thought he was a ruffian.
According to his Condors teammate, Charlie Williams, he was an excellent player, but say something wrong to the guy and you had this feeling he would reach into his bag, take out a gun, and shoot you.
Wow.
He was ejected so often for fighting that he was nicknamed the heavyweight champion of the ABA. His most infamous moment came against the Rockets. He was ejected 2 minutes into the game for a vicious elbow on the Rockets' Art Becker. For unknown reasons, he charged back onto the court, going after Becker three times before police ushered him to the locker room. In 1978, Brisker went missing after he traveled to Uganda. Some rumors claim he went to Uganda as a mercenary. Others say he was invited as a guest by Idi Amin. The last confirmed... choose your own adventure. Your code name is John Brisker. The last confirmed communication from Brisker was in April 1978, after which it's been speculated he was executed by a firing squad when Amin was removed from power in 1979. He was declared legally dead in 1985.
I have it on very good authority that he's out there taking care of Bartolo Colon's second family.
Somebody's got to, with this free agent squeeze that's happening.
And
right
Charles
now.
Caraltz, right.
How did this conversation start?
I know
it's our straight through 2 hour and we're doing our thing, but how did we get to Boss Rutan and John Brisker and
we're talking about NBA
Stay
players,
Ready All-Stars.
NBA players you don't want to mess with.
But how did that start?
It started because there was somebody you said you didn't want. That's your.
You have a way better memory than I do. I don't remember things that happened 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes.
You're
ago.
Saying NBA players you don't want any problems with.
But how did that start?
You started with something there.
Thank you. I appreciate you being a part of this conversation.
I think it's best to just not ask questions.
Never ask? Okay, yeah, all right, no all questions. Right, there it is. All right, so we have a chunk of Anthony Rizzo that we have to play. We'll play it next hour, and we'll also do in other news next hour as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. 67011 is the text zone, apparently. The people are still texting names of brothers that didn't smile and hoping that we think that they were angry people. See, John Starks, I didn't get that fight feel from him. He's a tough guy. Is one of the names that people have texted. Vernon Maxwell was a crazy dude.
No, and sometimes the guys who make their thug face all the time are some of the...
That's their resting face.
Look.
Resting thug face.
I was so scared of Lorenzo Charles for so long, and then I found out he was one of just the nicest, sweetest, best guys around who just carried himself that way because that's how he had to. That was his
thing. Thank God we are... coming into the age where brothers just don't have to smile to disarm people. You know what I mean? Like you can just, your resting face could just be one where it's like, oh, okay, well, come up and say hello.
I get that all the time. Why do you look so unhappy? Yeah. Why do you look so angry walking chilling. Around? I'm like, that's just
my resting face.
I just don't.
Just chilling.
I don't walk around with a big goofy grin. Smile on
we
my
gotta
face.
We got to talk about your man.
Tim Tebow?
No. A man who's been around baseball for 4 decades. And is saying the things that he's saying about Tim Tebow.
About 4 decades of baseball.
Right. Sandy Dam Alderson. You haven't seen this?
Well, he's selling.
I don't
he's
know.
Carrying water
he doesn't have
for
to
Brody
sell anything, though. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. What is he doing?
I don't know.
Saying that he's going to be in the major leagues here soon? What are we doing here?
I don't know.
For all the people who are outraged about Jordan and
as long as he keeps number 83, I'm for it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
83.
Taking a spot from somebody? Tim Tebow with his .309 on base percentage, 10 years of not playing baseball, and he went from low A to high A, and now he's going to be in the major league soon?
They're doing a bit.
They're not doing a bit!
Yeah, they are.
The Mets are a professionally ran organization. It's not a bit. This isn't King County where they got to get a couple of people in the stands.
Like an unaffiliated minor league team that's signing a guy fresh out.
Independent league like that used to have Jose Canseco and Ricky Henderson and all them dudes on there.
Newark Bears.
Yeah, the Newark Bears. This isn't
St. Paul Saints.
This is a real team. This is a real team with minor league affiliates. And Sandy Alderson came out and said, yeah, he's gonna. I definitely believe he's going to be a major leaguer one day. I like Tebow. I think he's done for. For the talent that he has or doesn't have in a couple of different sports, his charitable efforts and his speaking engagements, I mean, he's an uplifting figure to some. I don't have any issues with him. The issues that I've had are with the people who just love to praise him like he is
people believe
God
he's,
or Jesus himself.
He's like channeling some divine power into everything that he does.
And also the conversation came up of rejection and how the NFL did him dirty. And I'm like, how are we able to have the Tim Tebow got done dirty question at the quarterback position when Colin Kaepernick's just picking up his phone every once in a while like, oh, yep, still works. I paid the bill. There's a dial tone here. Still no work for me. Like, how are we having that conversation? But, yeah, Sandy Alderson, what are you doing, player? You've been around baseball for 40-some-odd years. You've seen Major League Baseball players. And you're going to say that Tim Tebow will be a Major League player before it's all said and done? What?
For me, my goal isn't about, you know, what's going to happen one day. My goal is to focus on this day and, you know, our outfield work, my training session, getting to know all the new coaches and working as hard as I can. And I think one of the important things about being an athlete is being able to lock in and have tunnel vision, because I can't worry about one day if I'm going to play in the bigs or not. You know, I think I got into this because I love it. I'm passionate about it. And I think that, for me, it's being able to lock in and have tunnel vision regardless of what team I'm on, wherever they decide to put me. I'm going to be able to lock in and give it everything I have.
Go get him,
Wait,
Tim.
Hold on a second. How old is he now? Is he 32?
I knew it was coming as soon as you played it.
He sounds like a toddler.
He sounds like he's talking to preschoolers all the time.
No, he sounds like he is one.
Hey, man.
Look, I know he's
30. He'll be 31 in August.
He's just,